Yeah, we have a couple of guys that's going to share some stories that God has done in their lives. So the first one is Heinrich.
Hopefully I don't need the notebook, but we'll see. It took a lot of an hour, right? Okay. It's a massive privilege to be able to share just what God has done this last year and a bit. Actually, firstly, just want to honor my parents-in-law. They're actually here from PE visiting us this weekend. So, it's so nice having you guys here this morning. And my wife, Laura, she's been a champ in this process. Just our com as well, just the way that they came around us in this time was really, really so special. So I think I first need to backtrack a little bit before we get to what happened last year, July. So I started my postgrad studies in 2020. I studied agriculture, so I did applied science in horticulture, so that's fruit production, and I really enjoyed it, and I actually did quite well undergrad. It was something that I really enjoyed, and it's something that I really found a lot of identity in, to a large extent, actually very unhealthy, but nevertheless, also enjoyed what I did, and then pursued postgraduate studies in horticulture, and then as soon as I started, everything sort of went from bad to worse, like it was really bad, and I couldn't admit to myself that I was struggling, like, and I couldn't even more admit to other people that I was struggling, like coming from undergrad, like performing super well, and now all of a sudden, like you're just plummeting, like nosediving your masters, like you're not gonna confess that to anyone, like you just keep on pushing, keep on going through, like things will get better, and it didn't get better, it actually just got worse, and to a point it came where I was really desperate, and I couldn't admit to anyone that I was struggling, and in one of the chapters in my master's, I started fabricating data. So I started creating things that wasn't there just to have some form of result in some way to present something. And it happened in multiple components of the master's, and nobody knew. And I think if it played out at the end, nobody would have probably ever known. And I submitted my master's end of 2021. I, in that time, went for job interviews, and the Lord was actually, in that so, so much. I just wanted to get away. I was like, okay, cool. That was the plan, studied. I'm going to go to a farm in Limpopo, just get away, like just as far as possible. And in that time, Laura and I started becoming really good friends and started becoming dating and everything. I was like, okay, cool. I think it will be better to be close. But I knew I couldn't just make the decision based on where Laura is. I knew I needed to find the Lord. And somehow, the Lord provided the opportunity for me to work in Stellenbosch. Like, studying agriculture, it's sort of like the chances that you'll work in a small town, that's where the jobs are. So getting a job in Stellenbosch in research was like, Lord, like, oh, like how? And now, all of a sudden, I'm in research, the thing that I was like, so stuck in and so fearful of for 2 years that I've, in a sense, in my mind, failed in, but I got through it. And I got the job, and I started working, and it was actually so cool, like just having a clean slate. And I think in that, like a lot of healing already started in 2022. Just me actually having freedom in my workspace, collecting data, writing reports with so much freedom, knowing like, okay, cool, that was a chapter that was behind me. But still there was this fear constantly and constant anxiety of like, what if something comes out? What if something happens? Like, because you know when your conscience is bothering you. And it's like, you can make that choice. Like, you can harden your heart and you can just be like, I'm not going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to keep it deeper down and like just make it more and more not a thing. So I worked for that year, and then there was a conference, a 412 conference in the end of 2022 or middle, and Hannes shared on the fear of the Lord and just sin that he had to confess. And it was an amazing time of people responding and bringing things into the light. And I knew I had to, and I chose not to. And even like thinking back, I'm like, Lord, like he didn't have to give me another chance. Like that was an opportunity to share with people, bring it into the light, walk in freedom, and I chose to still keep it in that moment. And I could feel like it just got heavy after that. Like it felt like, in a sense, the presence of the Lord like left me. And that was in a build-up to our wedding. We were engaged in and we got married at the end of that year. And then we went through deliverance. That's a story in itself that I already shared a long time ago. And one of the first things that came out during deliverance was this thing of my postgraduate studies. And the freedom that came for the first time telling someone, like telling Laura, it was like a weight off my shoulders. And I remember we had Lucas and Tarin on the phone as well that evening, and just being able to confess it to someone, it was so freeing. And after that, I thought like, okay, cool, now it's done, it's in the light, I know I'm forgiven. And there was a lot of freedom in that. And I still continued with my job, still had this sense of like, yes, I'm less for something in the future that's not research, but I was like, okay, Lord, I know this is where I should be. And then in 2023, the conversation of my line manager came up about doing a PhD, and everything in me was like, no way, like, there's not a chance. Like, I'm not going to do further studies. Like, I already have, like, this trauma from 2020 and 2021, and I was like, I'm happy just to have my degree, even though it wasn't right. Like, I know I'm forgiven, I'm just going to stay in this place. And the conversation just came up more and more, and we just realized through that, like, how much fear came up. And then I was like, okay, something's wrong. Like, this shouldn't be the response to something that's actually quite exciting and actually a really cool opportunity to potentially go to Florida for a few months and, like, pursue postgraduate studies. And, yeah, like, I was like, but I was so fearful and so anxious. And, it came to a point where we were, like, praying through it, and we had faith. Like, Laura and I were like, okay, we think this is God. Like, we potentially... Amen. We're always moving. As I... I promise that wasn't me singing. So that was June last year. And then we got our friends together and we were like, so psyched. We were like, okay, guys, like, we're trusting for this. Like, we feel this is God. That was the Saturday, and we had faith. And then that Monday, that morning, I was on my way to Citrus Doll. And just before I left for work, I quickly had to do something on my laptop, and I saw an email from a paper that was cited that was written based on some of the work from the thesis. And I was like, yo, this is scary. Like, now it sort of like became real. Like, the thing of now other work is being done based on something that's not right. And then it sort of like hit me, and I was like, yo, this is not good. And I felt the Lord kindly, but also very strongly, just put in my heart, like, we're gonna deal with this now, like, properly. And I was like, oi. And I went to Laura, and I was like, okay, Leafy, I think I need to, like, bring this into the light, like, fully. And I was like, I'll go chat to Renzo. I think he's a good guy to chat to. I think he has good wisdom, and he will give good input. And Laura was like, okay, if you're gonna chat to Renzo, that basically means you're gonna share it. I was like, yeah. And I just wanna get a verse here. And it was so cool, like, just the Lord encouraging me that morning. I felt Matthew 10, verse 28. It says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell." Yeah, that sounds intense, but the fear of the Lord is actually something that draws us closer to him. It's not something that pushes us away from him. Like, it's his perfect kindness and his perfect fear. Like, it doesn't make sense in my mind, but I can experience it, and I know what it feels like. And I knew in that moment, again, I had a choice. And the fear of the Lord in that moment, like, drew me closer to him instead of away from him. And I knew, okay, potentially things can get really bad if I confess this. Like, this could mean I lose my job, I lose my degree. Like, there's a lot of stuff hanging. Like, and it was difficult, like, being confronted with the reality of your sin, also you're being forgiven for it, but it sometimes actually has consequences. And the Lord is the one then determining, like, he's the one that gives and he's the one that takes away. So it's like, even if, let's say, bad things, according to my judgment, would happen after this, what is that in comparison to what I can gain in terms of coming closer to him, walking with a free conscience? Like, and I think in this life, I can already see how beautiful it is walking in freedom. But so much more in the life to come, like knowing that I'm going to stand before him one day and everything is going to be revealed anyway. Like, I mean, everything is going to be there for everyone to see. But knowing that I was obedient to what Jesus wanted me to do. So I chatted to Rensu and he was like, yeah, it's not ideal. But we as a family will in any way support you guys. Like, you'll never be alone in this. And for me, that was a difficult step of faith, because up until that point, I really didn't, and even us, like as a family, didn't really had to depend on someone. It's sort of like, okay, in church, you do it because it's the right thing to do, and you try and depend on people, but actually you're fine. Like, you in a sense polished and everything looks fine on the outside. And that was the first time where I came to the reality, like, okay, things can get really bad and we actually would have to start asking for help a lot. And we did. We had to ask for a lot of help. And then after that conversation, just get my timeline, I shared it with my supervisor from the postgrad studies, and we emailed her, like, and we waited, and it was scary, like, not knowing what the outcome would be. And I think in this last year, it's like the most difficult conversations that I've ever had to have with people. Like, it felt like I became like a grown-up overnight. And I was so grateful, like, even looking back in this last year, how the Lord in every single difficult conversation prepared the hearts of those on the receiving end. Like, even the way that, like, from people that don't necessarily know him, like, being received and not being judged for what I did, like, and how much more, like, by my father, and how much more by my church family in the way that I'm loved. And the conversation came up, and I'm so grateful that it then played out in a way that we had to take the, in a sense, the legal route, and we had to go through the university system to see what's the actions that need to be taken. And that was last year, July. And we are here now, a year later, and I only found out the result a week and a half ago. So it was a very long process of, we don't know what happened or how it took so long, but obviously it was quite complicated. And there was a lot of human aspect involved, because it's still someone, I'm still a person on the other side, but they still have to take actions on their side to protect them, protect the supervisor. There was a lot of moving parts. And I think it was probably the most difficult year from our lives, like, ever. It was, yeah, it became, at one point it was like, fine, and then it just became worse and worse. And I think it became worse before it became better. Like, there was a point where I think Laura and I were both like, am I even okay? I think emotionally I was just so drained, like, from carrying this thing for so many years, and actually a lot of trauma that I experienced in that time that I needed to get healing from. And it was amazing just to see how the Lord in each timing provided the right people in our lives, and just how through people and through God's grace, he brought healing, like, step by step. And he was with me, like, and I had to have difficult conversations with my line manager and being like, hey, this is what happened. We can't pursue a PhD now. And we left it. And still, we were like, okay, I still have to work. I still have to go to the office space where I have to go every day. The line manager and people that I worked with in my master's, like, they're the people that I see every day at the faculty that I work. And it's difficult. Like, some days you walk in there and, like, you're not less to face the people that you sort of know this thing that's hanging over you is connected with. But I felt the Lord's encouragement just, like, every time, like, stay in it. Like, don't pull out. Like, just stay in it. And I was like, Lord, like, how long is this going to take? Like, just getting an outcome. Like, We just wanted something. We're like, Lord, even if it's the worst news, like, just give us something like concrete that we can at least like move forward, and nothing. And then again, we sort of came full circle where we had to start applying for the PhD, and I still told my line manager, like, I can't. I don't even have an outcome after a year. And we were like, okay, let's put it on ice once again. And I knew, like, this is the Lord. Like, whatever would happen, if he wants me to do a PhD, in the future, God willing, he will be the one that resurrects it. And we had faith. And we're like, okay, Lord, whatever the outcome is going to be, we trust that it's going to be favorable. Then I had to go for an interview, or like a verhoor, a hearing. I had to go for a hearing through the university, and it was so cool. Like, it sounds weird, but like in that moment, sitting there and like knowing like God is with me, like doesn't matter what you're facing, like sitting there and someone is like asking you questions, and you just like with confidence, like testifying, like, this is what I did, owning up to it, but like knowing that the Lord is with me and like he's backing me. Like, it was so cool. And we were like, okay, whatever's going to happen. And then we waited again for, I think, 2 months or so. Again, not hearing anything. And I was like, yes, okay. And then a week and a half ago, I got an email with the outcome. And they actually then, based on all the evidence, decided to revoke the master's. Which is like, I think, the best outcome, actually. Like, just knowing that if anything would happen in the future, then there would be like proper building again. Like, the foundation can't just be sort of sealed like a little bit. Like, let's just cover it up and it'll be fine. Like, the foundation was cracked and it was not right, and it completely had to be removed. So I'm so grateful that the Lord, in his kindness, actually just removed it. And we felt a lot of healing in that and a lot of victory. But now it's still the question of like, okay, well, what's going to happen? Like, I still need to now walk this journey out. Like, it's one thing confessing something, but then another, like, walking it out. And then I went to go speak to some high up people. I felt very weird walking into the office of someone, the dean of the faculty, and like, hey, can I get a meeting? And then chatting with them and just seeing how the Lord provided the right opportunities at the right time, with my line manager, with the dean. And then all in all, the outcome of it was that I lose the degree, but the job in no way will be like keeping it against me. They were actually really understanding, and I think that's also the Lord being sovereign, because he is sovereign. And there's a scripture in Lamentations that Laura just felt in that time, in the last few weeks, and it says, it's 3 verse 37, it says, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? And we knew, like, whatever will happen, it will be the Lord, 100%. And it's at a point now where I can still keep my job, and God willing, can continue with a degree later on in life if it would happen in that way. But all of this, like, this is actually not the point. Like, it's losing something and gaining something. It's like, that's sort of like, it's on the side. Like, it's really not what it's about. And in the process, like, seeing how God uses stuff like this as a means for his kingdom. Like, this is not the end in any way. And I can testify of the freedom that there is of bringing things into the light and walking with a clear and pure conscience before the Lord and before people. It's the most freeing thing ever. It's like, I wouldn't recommend anyone, like, keeping stuff in bondage. Like, as any encouragement this morning, like, ask the Lord to come and search your heart. Like, if there's stuff that you feel that's weighing you down and that's actually causing that disconnect, in a sense, how we see God, like, that we need a pure conscience before him, like, to be able to see him and walk in freedom. And the Lord is gracious. He wouldn't put us in something if he can't provide the grace. And the Lord gave us as a family the grace to endure. And waking up every morning and just knowing, like, his steadfast love, it's going to endure forever, and his mercy is on you. That's also in Lamentations. And just knowing that it never ceases. But I want to highlight a few things, like asking for help. I really want to encourage everyone as well. Like, if there's something in you that feels like you're carrying things by yourself, you don't have to. Asking for help is the most freeing thing as well. Like, being humble and asking. And I remember one Sunday at church, like, I think that was at the point where it was like probably our lowest low. And we came to church, and as we were driving to church, we found out there was no cups. And Laura and I are part of the stock tech team, and we were like, and it broke me. I was like such a low emotional place at that point. Like, even someone just asking, is there cups at church? Like, I freaked out. And so I think at that point we realized, like, okay, I'm actually not okay. And the Lord was kind, like, just, we came here, and I told Laura, like, I can't even face people. Like, if someone had to ask me now, like, how are you doing? I'm just going to start crying. Like, and we got to church, and Laura, like, was a champ. She came in, it was Fellowship Sunday. She just looked for Renzo and Ornay, and they came to the parking lot, and they prayed with me, and we were just, like, standing there crying. And for like a whole year, like, we had no idea how it's going to play out. I'm testifying now, obviously, from a place how it already happened. But there were moments like, I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I can last longer. I was like, I can't stay in it anymore. Like, I need to get out. Like, and the Lord was like, stay in it. Like, don't pull out now. And it's so cool to be able to testify of the Lord's kindness. And I remember, like, every single time I had to, be confronted with this thing, like, I just felt more freedom every single time. Like, every single time I had a conversation with someone, it just brought more freedom. And it's the Father's kindness, like, the way that He allows us to go through things, difficult things. And I think in this last year, it's the most that I've ever experienced God's kindness. And that's, for me, the testimony is God's kindness. Like, in 2022, when an opportunity came for me to confess, and I didn't, He could have left me. But instead, He even pursued me harder. Like, and He knew at what time I could take what. If it was a year earlier or a year later, the timing would have been wrong. And the Lord knew. And, yeah, I remember at the start of this year, of middle year, we were, like, also in a very bad place emotionally. And then I think Laura and I both took a massive toll. And then we were fortunate enough to babysit the Van Niekerk's dog, Toffee, for a weekend. And that was for us, like, the biggest joy. Like, all of a sudden, we were not speaking about how difficult the season is. We were, like, playing with a dog in our garden. It was so great. And, like, a few months later, we actually got our own dog. So if anyone was wondering why we love our dog so much, this is part of it. Like, it was in our emotional healing that the Lord gave us a dog. So that's just a side note. We're really grateful to the Lord for that. So, but yeah, I just want to encourage everyone, and actually just want to thank you guys as a family for the way that you caught me and Laura. We felt so loved and felt so caught, and we're really excited for how the journey is going to play out. So, yeah, it felt like, I think in those last 2 weeks, we got a lot of closure just in having the right conversations with the right people. So we're going to be in Stellenbosch for a number of more years, God willing, and see what the Lord wants to do in terms of future studies or, yeah, so we know He has a plan of us being here. Amen.
So Heinrich, we were just speaking during the week quickly, and I said, like, that will be cool. Actually, if you just share your journey with the congregation, and he said, oh, my parents-in-law is going to be here. So just now imagine Heinrich is your son-in-law. How would you feel? If Heinrich is my son-in-law, I will have such confidence, you know. I'll have such peace. Not because he's perfect, because none of us is, but he fears the Lord enough that he will seek His ways no matter what, and he will seek the kingdom first no matter what, and that he fears the Lord enough to do that, you know. And, you know, we're happy that we're at the end of this journey with this at least. But again, just on the back of this, you know, there is this lie in darkness. There's this lie in the lie that the truth is daunting. There's this lie in darkness that the light is too daunting. And we all know it. We all at some stage had this battle between the jump from darkness to light. And we all know how that giant has caused all kinds of fear, all kinds of shame, all kinds of things that pulls us back, right? And I'm just like, well, we all have to face it. What's the type of people that goes through it? I think the fear of the Lord is something, you know. I think the fear of the Lord is something. That I fear the Lord enough that I cannot stay in this place. So we're going to have some other people sharing still, but I just want to stand still on this one a little bit. And just, if we could just close our eyes, you know, it might be for some of us here, you know, as Heinrich had this moments where the Lord stopped at him and said, Heinrich, that thing, come clear. You know, it might be for you this morning, you know, where there's just something of the past or something that is just covered. And I tell you, I have never heard of anybody coming into the light that was that regretted it. Never. Never. But I've seen so many people staying in darkness whose lives got messed up. So, Father, I pray, even this morning, we want to celebrate being in the light. We want to celebrate the truth because it does set free. And, Father, I want to pray for whatever shame, whatever measure of pride is keeping us from being people of truth, from people of the light. I pray, Lord, that thing will be crushed this morning. And there will be a people that will say, I'm choosing the light. I'm choosing the ways of the Lord. I'm choosing the truth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys. Here we go. Round two. Jeannie.
Hi, everyone. So my name is Jeannie Dean. I'm going to share just a part of the journey where I finally got freedom in. So I can say that with confidence that I'm free. So just a little bit of background. This thing I've been struggling with for years, since I was a little girl, just never knew really how to pinpoint it, how to, this is it. Like, so I've been living with it, trying to figure it out myself, trying to fight this thing on my own. So the fruit of this insecurity in my heart was basically just like struggling with like severe rejection issues and feeling like a victim and feeling very sorry for myself at times, like with my family as well as with church family. So I would fake it very much here. I would look like really, you know, and then at home I would like sit with all these thoughts and feelings and just go through my mind all the time, overthinking everything and everyone, this relationship with this one and this one, and it's just like a very toxic cycle to be in. So the Lord has been pressing it on my heart that I need to deal with this thing, but I just didn't really know how. I've been trying, it's not working. So I was convinced, like, no, it's really like prayer. I've tried. When I spoke to Norco as well, I've read scripture, I've proclaimed scripture, I've meditated, I've tried everything, I've even fasted. It's not working. And then I went on the Mossel Bay outreach just a few weeks ago, and one of the ladies there gave me a picture that they felt was from the Lord. So basically, they saw a bowl of fruit, and there was one fruit that was like rotten. And basically, if that fruit is not removed, it's going to accelerate the spoilage of the rest of the fruit. And it resonated with my heart very strongly, where I kind of had like, oh no, it's like it needs to be removed, like now, quickly. Like, and I went to knock, and I was like, I feel this is a warning. Because I've been leaving it there, and I know it's there, but I didn't take it, I wasn't as serious about it because it's been so long, like, it's part of my life, it's how it is, I'll always be rejected, I'll always be the lesser, or whatever, you know, so I kind of accepted that as part of my identity, And then Naku was like, okay, we're going to pray, we're going to fight. And I was like, oh, I've tried that as well. I didn't put much weight onto or the value of praying with someone because I was like in such a low place with that. And so on Friday this week, literally 2 days ago, it was time for our prayer session. So Linka joined us. She's my comm leader and Naku. And we started just chatting, and I was explaining to them all my insecurities and this and this. And if people do this, I feel like this. And thinking that that's the main issue. But somewhere, we were like, this is not the root. it's deeper than this. That's just the fruit of the root. So Naku started asking me questions about family, especially my dad. And in a bit, I was like, what does my dad have to do with my rejection issues? I struggled to let go of, like what could be this root. I was like, so, like, this is the issue. Like, people's the issue. People need to be better and change. Okay. So then basically we prayed and we asked Holy Spirit to reveal to me the first incident where my heart was hardened. Where I kind of like specifically towards my dad closed my heart off and kept him at a distance. So the same way I kept my dad at a distance, it happened with God, how I related to God. I thought that's a cliche. It's really real, guys. Okay. So then the Holy Spirit showed me this incident where I, as a little girl, I was 5, 6 years old, had this really strong emotion, closed my heart. And then Mark is like, okay, let's ask Holy Spirit to imagine or ask where Jesus was in that moment. I closed my eyes for 2 seconds, and I looked at Mark and I was like, he's not there. Like, he can't. Like, Jesus can't be there in that moment with my dad. And she's like, but you're not trying. And I was like, but, like, the situation, what happened, like, surely Jesus couldn't be there. Like, it was a negative situation, so why would Jesus be there? Like, so then my eyes opened up, and Naku was great helping me to word what was going on. And it turned out that I was actually filled with self-righteousness and pride, and having like this measuring stick, judging others and measuring others to a standard that I decided, instead of seeing people with God's love and grace. So I would take the power into my hands and disqualify people based on what they say and their behaviors, and that would keep people at a distance. And as an effect, I kept God at a distance because I couldn't love people with his love and his grace because there's nothing from me to others. So there's that scripture in Matthew 7 that the way that we judge, we will be judged, that same measure. And then Naku saw a picture of a roadblock and how it's blocking my access to God, and it needs to be removed, okay? I was like, oh, this is so heavy. Like, can I move it? Like, it felt like such a mountain. And I was really like, are we going to need like 10 sessions for this? And then we just trusted Holy Spirit, and we prayed and took time and just opened my heart. Like, okay, Lord, like, you can actually set me free, so let's give it a shot, you know. And then in that moment, I had an encounter with the Lord where that roadblock was removed. And then in my previous belief was, yeah, when I get on the other side, I'm going to have to go look for God. Like, I'll have to make the effort. I'll have to find him somewhere. But actually, God was right there. He was waiting on the other side for me, like right there. Not like they have to go look for him. He was waiting for me to draw near to him so he can draw near to me. And at that moment, there was like excitement and just being able to go into the Lord's and into the Father's embrace with gentleness, kindness, mercy, grace. It was something that was much bigger than I can word, okay? There's no words to explain what I felt then and experienced then. But then the Lord also gave me a picture of how I was holding a scepter, okay? And like chin up, I'm holding the scepter and I'm like judging people according to my standards. And just how, there's a very, a strong sense of justice in me. Like, there's consequences for behavior and you can't just go on if you sin. There must be consequences. And then I was reminded of the older brother in the prodigal son. And then basically the young, when he came home, after having spent his father's money and like he did all the things he shouldn't have, and the older brother was like the faithful and he was working hard, he was doing all the right things. Like you almost feel like you deserve the father's attention and love a bit more than the one that didn't do as well as you did. So then just that thing of the father embracing the younger brother and having that sense of like almost like a jealousy. How can you? Like, look what he did. Like, how dare you like love him that well? Like, he didn't do this, this, and this. He needs to be punished or whatever. And I realized like, yo, that's so ugly. And my eyes opened to just that self-righteousness and judgment of me holding the scepter. And the only way that I could have access to God's grace and love is if I let go of that scepter. I put it down. I repent. Because that's a sin. Okay. And that's when I had access to God. That roadblock was removed. And I could experience his love and his grace. So we prayed. And we asked the Holy Spirit to reveal every single situation where my heart has taken this strong stance of justness, specifically towards my dad as well, and just repenting of it and working through it. So I didn't notice it in the moment, but afterwards, Naku told me that she could see the shift in my prayers. She could see how my prayers started softening to being graceful and with love, where in the beginning it would be like this and this and this, and like it would be filled with God's love and grace. So it was evident that where I thought I'm going to need 10 sessions, the Lord came instantly and replaced my heart of stone with a heart of flesh. And yeah, I just want to encourage you that I've been trying to fight this thing for years on my own, secretly, because it's such a, in my brain, I judged myself, and I was like, it's such a baby Christian thing to struggle with. If you bring it to your leaders, they're going to be like, surely you must have grown a little bit more than this, you know? Surely you're a solid food Christian by now, stuff like that. So I judged myself harshly as well, and just because of that, I couldn't access God. I couldn't walk in his grace. Yeah, so to bring things into the light, to speak to your to the people around you, your comm, your leaders, to fight with them as well. That's why we're here. That's why we're in a body. And I got freedom when I brought it into the light and when I told Naku, like, okay, it's a bad fruit. And yeah, in prayer together, they have that inheritance of the freedom that I have as well, because you fought with me. Yeah.
So Carla just asked me to share in the prayer meeting this morning. Carla was praying that, God, you are a good king. And as he was saying that, I was reminded of Ginny Dean's picture of her holding the scepter and judging. And then I realized, good king, our God, Jesus, he also holds the scepter. He's the king, but his scepter is grace and mercy. When he extends his scepter, we can be safe. He doesn't judge because he took all our sins upon himself. That is just such a relieving, like a restful thought.
Yeah, it's such a, we serve the King with the scepter of mercy and not a scepter of judgment. Oh, but it's good news for me. But I want to say, you know, it's interesting. We had a bit of a prodigal at his journey this morning sharing. I just want to say prodigals come out quicker and easier than older brothers. Older brothers staying stuck much longer because they think there's nothing wrong with them. And everybody else is wrong. It's the hardest thing to get an older brother. Even in, it sounds a bit morbid here, but even in that parable in Luke 15, the older brother never came out. He never enjoyed the inheritance. It was the messed up one that did. And we need to ask for mercy for all the older sons, and I'm including me as well. You know, because the self-righteousness is keeping many people stuck. You know, to be honest, Heinrich's first journey was as the older brother. Yeah. He said that, yeah, they were the perfect older brother couple. Anyway, so I'm gonna pray for us on this one. So, I think the biggest thing that kept many of us in bondage is when we look at our king, we see him carrying a scepter of judgment. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that for your spirit, you will break the picture of our king that doesn't carry the scepter of judgment, but the scepter of mercy. And invites all of us and are willing to deal with all of us. Father, I pray that you will restore the picture of our king. He's a good king. He's not an abusive king. And Father, secondly, we pray for every older brother. All of us older brothers, Lord Jesus. That think somehow we have earned a righteousness. And somehow in comparison with our brothers, we feel we deserve more. Or we deserve anything. Father, we acknowledge today, oh Lord, we need your scepter of mercy. Because all of us, Lord, all of us here have come short and need your mercy and need your grace, Lord Jesus. I pray for a spirit of humility to settle in all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Lisi.
Right, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Lisi. I've been part of this congregation since about January. That's Alfie. so God also did a refining job with me in the last couple of years. Well, basically since I became a Christian, but looking a certain way in the last couple of years. To cut a long story short, about 2.5 years ago, I had to resign from my work to finish masters. I was quite burnt out, and an opportunity came to stay with people, and they were able to look after me. It was something I did with the leaders, and I was a full-time student for about 6 months, and then starting 2024, after finishing most of my studies, I started job hunting. Just was super unsuccessful consistently unsuccessful for pretty much up until Wednesday this week, to cut a long story short. But, it was one of those, just something God showed me even then, about 2 years ago. We were worshiping in church. I was in Gordon's Bay at that time, and we were singing that song, How Great Is Our God. And I felt God say to me, oh, Lisi, so often my people don't let me show them how great I am. Like you make your own little plans, you fix your own little problems, and you strategize and you use your wisdom and your education and all your things. And I was like, okay, sure, Lord, that's a thought. And then through the time that I was looking for employment, I did get a few things. Like I had part-time work keeping me alive all this time, but not to the point that I was able to be independent in that I could afford my own rent and sort of just live normal life. So I've been staying with people who were super generous and super kind, and that comes with a lot of humility, living in someone else's home and not being able to afford like just the basic stuff, just kind of basic life stuff. And then I worked for the university for the first semester this year. It was just a contract job, again paying very little. Not that I could get on my own feet, and I was hoping for some consulting work to came through that I did last year. I was subcontracting on a few projects, and it paid very well, and I had this plan. I'm going to work for the university. That's going to be a little kind of stipend income, and then I'll do some consulting work as well, and I'll be, like, quite well off. And God just went, like, no, none of that. I'm going to strip you financially. And I think at one point I met with Kala Nako, and Nako also felt that. She said, I feel like God's going to strip you. He wants to have you trust him and not yourself. And I think some of my longer journey has been that, you know, if I want to do anything in life or if I want to travel, if I want to buy my own place, if I want to do anything, it's going to be me. I'm the one working, you know. There's no dad or something else or a husband or someone else helping me. It's me, you know. And I had this, you know, I can do this kind of thing. And God wanted to just show me, no, Lisi, it's me. It's him. And he started stripping me in that, just where am I placing my trust? And will I trust him if he takes everything away? Yeah, and so my contract with the university came to an end at the end of June, and in July I was kind of still feeling hopeful. I had two conversations going that were going to be very good offers. Either one would be very good offer for me, and I was convinced probably both are going to come through, and I'll have to choose, or maybe I'll be able to do both, depending on the hours. And then both fell through. And I was like, oh, okay, I did not see that coming. And at that point, not to get into the explanation of that, I also lost the place where I was staying. So I had to start couch surfing. Alfie and I had to be like, where are we going to stay? And through this body, people helped me out. I want to just, Surieta even gave her bedroom up for me and had to share with her sister. But I was taken care of, and it was one of those things where, I wasn't sure where I was going to sleep that Sunday night, you know. Like, I've got somewhere up until this day, and I've got somewhere up until that day, and then I'm not quite sure yet, but... And God just, I must say, God prepared me a little for this. I had such a wonderful encounter with him. And he just took me through the book of Ruth and showing me the importance of being obedient to God in the small things and just trusting him by being obedient when you don't see him working, when you don't feel him or anything like that. So I will say God's really been, he prepared me for, like, especially in the last 2 months, just the difficulty of what was coming. But it really, it started looking like there's just nothing on the horizon. And I'm job hunting and applying, Indeed, PNET, LinkedIn, all the other ways. Direct phone calls, just cold calling. Eventually, here and there, I had a good coffee, and then it looked like something was going to come through, and my whole comm would get excited with me, and the next thing, it was just vanished. And it was just, this kind of like thinking, yo, is there something that I'm not seeing? Going again before God and asking him, Lord, have you forgotten me? Or don't forget me, God. And God is immediately responding, you know, how can a mother forget their nursing child or the son of their womb? Like, even if they forget, I can't forget you. And God kept speaking comforting words to me. But I think also Nako sent me a message the one day saying, Lisi, I was worried about you, but I prayed and God said, don't worry, I've got her. And I was like, okay, cool. But I'm not sure where I'm sleeping next week, kind of thing. I think it was just such a journey of just holding and just looking at him. At one point, I just decided, well, I'm going to just start developing my own workshops, you know, and I just tried everything. At one point, I said to someone, you know, maybe we shouldn't be praying for a job. Like, I don't know what God wants to do. We must just pray for his will. And it's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek, but we had an outreach to Mossel Bay, and just on the road there, I had this thought, what if God wants to take me through an accident, take me home, you know? Let's go up, let's go to heaven. That would solve the problem of looking after my body and keeping me alive. And I just had that thought. And I was like driving 80 all the way to Mossel Bay. I was just like, oh, okay. And even at one point, I came through to this blind corner and I was like, oh, something's going to happen here. And I slowed down and I came around to the corner and there were a bunch of baboons on the road. And I was like, okay. You know, just laughing at myself and thinking, oh, heaven must be laughing at me right now. But God didn't take me out at that time. I'm still here. I think just the word that really came through is just, God, glorify your name. And, you know, in so many ways, we think it's our ability. But in the end, I want to say a series of events that started in 2022. God had already set it up. I was placed with a certain study leader for my master's, and that person is married to an MD that works for this company, and I collaborated with them on my thesis and used their data, and we did a webinar after my results and everything. So I worked a little bit with them. They knew me, but they for years said, Lisi, we don't have a job for you. We don't have work for you. And then recently, a few weeks ago, they said, please send your CV. We may have something coming up. And it kind of was one of those, in the midst of many such potential conversations. And I've only actually had, I haven't had a full-on interview with them, but we've, through just our conversations, ended up them just saying, well, this is what we want to offer you. Would you be interested in it? You know, do you need time to think about it? And I was like, I'm interested. I don't need time to think about it. And I can start now, like this afternoon. So God's provided me with this amazing opportunity. And I think he's gone way above what I thought. You know, I became kind of desperate to just look for almost any job in the end. And just like, Lord, like, I give you my qualification. Like, if I don't end up doing something in that area, in that line, whatever your will is for me, whatever you want for me, that's what I want as well. But God was gracious, and it's very much in line with what I've studied, and it allows me as well to do an internship. And I'm at the edge of that deadline. If I don't do it now, I'll have to in the future redo masters again. You know, so, and it's just come in this last 2 weeks of the deadline. And at the same time, normally the interns get like a very small salary. It's like a stipend again. They don't have to pay our interns according to the law. But they've said to me, Lisi, we're not going to offer you an intern salary. We're going to give you a full salary, so don't worry about that. and they've sent me a dummy payslip, and I'm like, okay, that's a higher salary that I've ever earned actually before, even from my previous work. So I was just like, okay, Lord, you've gone way ahead and above, and in every way, again, just showed himself faithful, but better than we think. Yeah, so yeah, that's my story. So I'm like, at the I think I'll get my first paycheck at the end of October. And I said to someone, I'm going to party hard then. And what I mean with party hard is I'm going to pay my rent.
Hey. Alfie, here's your boss. Jesus and dogs. That's the message for this morning. JP. Ta-ta-ta.
Thanks, Connor. I'm glad my wife's outside because she doesn't like me sharing because I see Warren's not here. So if I cry, I don't even have anyone that's going to have sympathy with me. But yeah, I'll be short because I understand why you said I've got 5 minutes. So the Lord has put something on my heart the last 2 months, and I'll just give you a little bit of context before I get to the hard part. But so I got saved really late. I was 40 years old, and before that. Thanks. I'm going to really need that. So before that, you know, I grew up, I was a typical, you know, 10-year-old boy that was living, you know, with a lot of fear. Like I was saying to Christo, like I was a young boy that lived with three things. I lived with fear, guilt, and shame. You know, I was like between those three pretty much all of my life. And then, luckily or unluckily, found my identity. I was kind of, you know, I always grew up with a ball in my hand, so sport became my identity, and I used that sort of as my mask. But, you know, back inside, you know, on my own, I was very fearful, and that basically throughout my life, that eventually led to me finding things that I thought would fool me. And then fast forward, you know, I eventually was lucky enough to play sport professionally and got injured. And I then basically, I was more like, there was more of a relief than anything else because I was like, okay, now I can just do the things that I want to do without having to be ready to play a sport, because how hard is it to drink and to do drugs and go to work? I mean, that's easy, right? You just need to sit in a chair. And so needless to say, I left South Africa and found myself working on Wall Street for about 9 years. Now, if you're not saved, that's the last place you want to be, because I'll say it in Afrikaans, but the liggies het my ingesluk. And I got spat out because, you know, I thought things would fool me. You know, if I would just make more money, surely I'm going to be happy. And the more money I made, the emptier I got. To a place where I was literally, when we were singing this morning, you know, you've turned my morning into dancing, my night into day. Yeah. I experienced that. Because I was at a very dark place. Luckily got, you know, had someone that shared the gospel with me in 2015. And yeah, I got saved March of 2015. And I got freedom from literally everything by 2017. And I say that because, you know, when I got saved, I thought, you know, like, surely I can't just be forgiven for everything. So I was on this journey to literally prove myself. I wanted to earn stripes, but didn't know that, you know, I was forgiven, and it took me some time, but I literally waved that white flag by the age of, yeah, literally 2017, when I was at 42, and yeah, I was very grateful for that, because I think I've shared with some people, you know, one of those Christians that I really enjoyed the saving part. It's really cushy and like nice to know that we, if we are in that accident, we're going to go to heaven. But I was really struggling with lordship for a very long time, you know, because I was in 60%, then I was in 70%. I was like 80%. Surely I never got 80% for anything. So if I'm 80% in, surely that's enough. And so I literally got to a place where I was like, okay, it's an all or nothing thing. And I'm so grateful for that, because, you know, I'm blessed with a wife. I became a father at the age of 48. Got a beautiful daughter. Sure. Where's Warren when I need him? So, you know, the joy that I've experienced the last 10 years is more than anything that I could ever imagine. But anyway, let me fast forward to it, what the Lord has put on my heart. So I came back to South Africa, and like, you know, obviously you find work and you do your thing. And I've always had this thing that there's something in my heart that the Lord's pulling me to. Now, I know that as a youngster, you know, what the things I was struggling with. And I want to go back to be placed in something like that. And the Lord, when I shared it at comms, by the way, the Lord's putting something on my heart. Jock immediately, you know, sort of stopped, and he said, JP, I'm seeing you in front of young boys coaching. And I was like, wow, okay. that's interesting, because that's exactly what's being put on my heart. So, you know, I started reaching out to people, like, you know, I've got my wife says, just please don't quit your day job, because we still got a, you know, a little girl to put through school and all that. But I sense that the Lord wants me to go and really have an impact with younger men, just see, you know, not just with words, but really with action, because I know that what impact coaches or teachers had on my life. And I really want to go and be a light in that world. Because, you know, if I look at someone sharing, seeing people through God's eyes, I want to be in front of those boys, like just sharing if the opportunity comes up, but more through actions, you know, like to impart something where they don't have to be operating out of a place of fear and guilt and shame. And, yeah, hopefully, you know, like the little bit I know of rugby, I can also impart, like, also, you know, obviously want to do well, like, but the coaching is one thing. If I coach someone and he becomes a Springbok, that'll be great. But what will really fill my heart is if I see that guy 10 years after school and he's married, he's a man of God, he's a good husband, he's a good father, that will bring me the biggest joy, because I know that that's what fills us. So, yeah, I just, you know, going to be obedient. I said to my wife, like, after discussing it, there's something that is bringing excitement into my heart to do this. I don't know what it's going to look like, but that's the nice thing going on this journey. I'm not saying I'm going to become Coach of the Year, but I'm definitely going to love it. I've said to the people that I've approached that I'll start anywhere. Give me the under 14 G's, if there's a team like that. I'll start anywhere. And, yeah, just really excited to see what the Lord's going to do, because I know His will is perfect. And I'm just excited to go and live out what He's put on my heart. And wherever it takes us or me, you know, I'll be extremely grateful, because everything that He has put in my heart and I've been obedient in it has always brought a lot of joy in my life. So thanks for letting me share.
So